Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Victory, the podcast. Bonus episode. I'm Doug Ellen.
Kevin Connolly, bonus episode. It's been a minute since we've done a bonus episode, but we got some stuff to talk about.
We got a lot to talk about because JSX is flying. They are, well, I can't say they're flying in because nobody can get in contact with them. But Adrian Grenier has a JSX flight, Austin to Los Angeles, to come do this podcast.
JSX are lovely. Partner and sponsor of the Queens Boulevard Film Festival. I guess they heard the podcast and they were like, yeah, we'll fly Grenier. You know, they'll fly Grenier in. So we got the okay from JSX. Now we gotta get Grenier to commit.
Can I say something about this JSX and this podcast? The reach that we have is people don't understand it. But Sam Querrey, top 20 tennis player in the world.
Oh, this is awesome! By the way, I gotta send that to the JSX. I'm gonna send it. This guy lied to you.
So anyway, Sam Querrey, top 20 tennis player, who's now converted into professional pickleball player, and
He used the promo code,
and not with me mentioning it. He listened to the podcast, and he used the promo code POMO.
Joyful 50. But if you think about it, a lot of the times these promo codes, I don't know. They can get a little tricky with some of these things. But when you're buying a ticket, you go online to buy a ticket, and then you just punch it in, and it's a no brainer.
Why wouldn't you do it? Not trying to do an advertisement right now, but you feel like you're
no. What I'm saying is a lot of times with advertisers.
No, I understood what you.
If you're like trying to go, and I don't want to mention it because we have lovely advertisers, but you know you want them to buy your product, and then they got to go and they got to. Get there, and I think the promo code is a little more complex.
Made it easy, you're saying. Okay.
Because it's just because of the nature of what they do.
All right. So, but anyway, Sam Querrey, who I went to see play in the semifinals of Wimbledon 3 years ago, and now
he
playing
professional.
He used the promo code.
I'm so proud.
Yeah, and you know what he used it for? Because Major League Pickleball, my team, the Chicago Slice, that you could have been an ownership in, that's growing, that's going to be worth
Maybe
what the Bulls
JSX
are worth.
Maybe JSX will sponsor your pickleball
We should
team.
Get them in. But anyway, Sam is flying because Mesa, Arizona, is the first Major League Pickleball event coming up next week.
So he's going JSX?
He's going
Joyful 50 Joyful 50 is the promo.
So anyway, if you need a flight, Adrian Grenier now. Let's get on this.
Right.
We need you. The flight is there. The microphone is hot, and we're ready for Adrian Grenier. Everyone who follows this podcast, don't harass him.
Yeah, don't harass him.
Just say, come do the podcast.
And the other thing, too, that we will commit to Grenier that he needs to know, we understand that he's on the new causes and that kind of stuff. Let's talk about it.
By the way, I'm into new causes. You know, I wanted to talk about something, my sustainability and my life force, because I got to tell you
something. Can you imagine Grenier breaking down our sustainability footprints?
It would be nice. But I talk about products that I love on the show. So when we're talking about JSX, I love it. But we've talked about Mush.
I know.
And
the free advertisement of the century.
I understand you laughed, and maybe Mush will come back to us. But you know what? It's not free. You know why? Because I had a physical last week, and I had the best cholesterol, blood pressure, liver, kidney numbers I've had in 15 years, and that's from two mushes a day. And I'm not getting a dime for that.
No, you're not.
But I'm living.
You're not getting that.
And it's
nothing against Mush, but if you don't think that your pickleball, high-end pickleball activity is directly responsible, I'm not saying that Mush isn't good for you. Of course it is. I'm saying you do not pull those kind of physical numbers in your physical without the kind of exercise you've been getting. That's a fact.
Everyone knows that the diet is got to change to do that. And my diet's been radically different. And so I was physical
you're an animal.
Before.
You eat like an animal.
Not anymore. I was physical before pickleball. I ran a basketball game for 10 years that Mike Young used to play in once upon a time. And I was physical. I'm a physical man. But also,
let's not get crazy.
And it's just relating to the reach of this podcast. Like 6 months ago on this podcast or on Ramble On, I talked about someone said I should watch this Australian show, the Mr. In Between, which I'm now 100% going to watch. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not.
Supposedly great. It's kind of gangsters or something, but supposedly awesome. Anyway.
Sounds like a fresh genre.
Riley Newman, number two pickleball player in the world, lands in Australia for the Australian Open, gets in an Uber, and the Uber driver says to him, out of nowhere, unsolicited, tell Doug Ellen to watch the Mr. In-Between Man. So people are listening
people
to
are
us.
The face of pickleball, bro. The face of pickleball.
It's the podcast is growing, and that's why we need, Kevin, there's something coming now.
Okay. Well, first, a couple things I want to, before we get, because that's going to be the back end of the show. Let's
Some of the front end.
I want to talk about some of these. We talked a little bit about it, but some of these submissions that are coming in for the Queens Boulevard Film Festival are crazy. I mean, I does it have you second guessing whether or not you're talented at all? Like, could you do that in a day? Go out and put together a little concept. We've got a couple of bangers for the JSX Queens Boulevard International. It is international because we've gotten some. The film festival. Some of them are so good. And not to take anything away from round one that we did, but people came to play ball this time around. So, again, you know, we have a few. Our two of our returning champions are right back in the mix for the film festival. And, you know, I'm glad that we're doing the voting system. Because I can't pick.
What's the voting system?
Meaning that me, you, Jerry, the CEO of JSX, Dylan, a bunch of us are going to vote, and the winner will be the winner, and there'll be two honorable mentions.
Is it a blind vote? Is it going to be intimidation tactics?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, right. I don't know. That's a good question. We have to talk about that, but I'm glad that I will not make the sole decision, because there's a couple doozies. It's really impressive. In fact, I started to tell you this. When I was in Medellin, Doug thinks I'm being somehow disrespectful to my people.
They're not your people.
They are my people.
They are not your people. I mean,
Colombians are my. What do you mean? My daughter is half Colombian. My Zulai.
They're
my
her people. They're not your people. You still my have to earn your
Long
way
Island.
In.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, I do. I got a trip under my belt. But my point is that when I was there, I started shooting like little bits. I didn't even tell anybody, but I got shots.
For what?
For the film festival, not for competition.
You're going to submit yourself?
Well, but not in the competition category. I'm just going to...
Can you imagine, Kylie? We're giving away a JSX flight concert. I don't know. I won.
By the way, that's why it's illegal to... That's why it's tricky to do that, because, you know, I could make myself the winner and get a couple free tickets. But I'm starting to wonder...
I saw a couple of films. You're not going to make better films than a couple of the ones I saw. I'll be shocked.
Right. Well, here's the mistake I made is that I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. Until like I would do shots. I would say, "Could you do me a favor? Just stand right there."
When you say, "Can you do me a favor?" You're talking like someone
like Zulai's dad or you know, who family members.
So you put these people in a movie without their permission. You just started filming.
And then I had to say, you know, I had to get them to say the line.
They didn't know what they were doing though.
They did not know what they were doing. I wish I would have told them, because now I see how high the stakes are. Now I'm embarrassed to show my movie.
You're going to embarrass your family.
I'm going to embarrass my family because they're in it, yeah.
They're the face of this.
But you know what I did? You want to hear my concept?
Sure.
I combined Queens Boulevard and Medellin. Does that make any sense?
Not yet, but I'm listening.
I crossed genres. I got.
Well, those are similar genres. Maybe no.
No,
kind of
I mean
gangster.
Queens Boulevard and one. But we're on the ground. We have like beauty shots of Medellin.
Yeah,
like,
no, I understand. But I'm clearly just talking, on location. I'm just talking genres, because actually I don't even know what Queens Boulevard genre. We could pretend we know what it is. Is it a film noir? Is it a gangster film?
Film noir. I think it's amongst friends.
All right, so that's
I think Queens Boulevard is amongst friends.
Similar to a Medellin, even though Medellin would obviously be a much bigger,
bigger in scope. Yeah. So I tried to do that. And the other thing, I shot all of this on my iPhone, and it's amazing what these cameras can do these days.
Well, Soderbergh shot a feature on an iPhone 5 years ago that was released in the theaters, and the iPhone is so much better now. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I am a little. I do have to get back into the editing room, because now that I see the quality of these films
did
that people
like
are turning
this
in.
Thing? Did you like?
No, I did. I did mostly daytime exteriors, but I got some like big wide shots, and I got some things right. So I want to.
Do you have a story? That's the real question, which for all writers out there, that's the first thing. You need a story. I don't care about your special effects. I don't care about anything
else. Well, this is, I'm glad you brought that up, Doug, because one of the things, and it's going to be interesting to see how people vote, because we said the trailer, it could be a trailer, it can be a reimagination of a scene, it could be whatever you want, right? So there's a couple of good trailers, but some of the trailers, while might not be visually as good looking, some of the trailers actually feel like... Like, we watched one in Zulai. Meanwhile, I've told her about the film festival a million times. I'm like, hey, Zulai, look at this trailer. You know what she says? When does this come out? I said, what are you talking about? I said, it's not. They made this trailer, but it actually, some of them actually feel like trailers for real movies, where other, some of them are that are really good, but it's like, okay, that's a trailer.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So, but again, it's so impressive. And I think we dialed up the challenge. So while we have less submissions, all the submissions are of a certain level of quality, because this one really flushed out the real filmmakers.
Are you going to put yours out there for people to see so they can see you? By the way, Kevin Connolly is an Academy Award nominated short filmmaker. Am I wrong about that?
Yes.
I am?
Yes, you are wrong. What do you mean? No, we made it when we did the Robert Downey, Tim Roth short that Toby produced. We made it to the final 10 of the Academy Awards, which is funny because now I would be able to call myself Academy Award nominee.
Why? Because there's 10.
Well, now I think they nominate 10, where they used to only nominate 5, but I made it to the final 10.
Now, can you prove that or no?
Yeah. But and the other thing is, so they vote it down. And as remember, this was 2003, so the other films were like heavy, like war. I mean, it was like, the ones that won were definitely worthy. Yeah. But it's that thing where obviously I didn't finish the top 5, but I saw the movies and I wasn't 10 and I wasn't 9. So I landed in like the 6, 7 or the 8 spot.
Not bad.
So yeah, but.
Not bad. But so, okay. So. Academy Award almost nominee short filmmaker.
Right,
Kevin
but I
Connolly.
Also am an Emmy Award winning director.
Yep. So are you going to put this thing out there for the world to see?
I need, Scotty's not here yet, right? I might have to bring in a new editor to spice it up a little bit.
Is Scotty your editor?
Scotty and I, we edited
so
it together.
So you're going to fire Beefy Scotty?
No, I need somebody to come in with I need an editor, somebody to really like dial it up a notch. I believe the shots are there.
I heard you. You're going to fire Scotty.
No, he's not going to fire Scotty. I can't fire Scotty. Scotty's
right,
my right hand.
You'll let him sit there, but he's not going to be controlling the edit anymore.
We'll see.
Muttering. I'm not supposed to say this. Somebody's very upset when we make Goodfellas references.
Are they upset
but
that
you're muttering?
All right. So, but they're not upset that we're talking about stuttering.
They don't want to hear Goodfellas references anymore. I think. But by the way, it's only one person.
But I don't think we. I don't think we. Maybe we do.
I know. I've had some battles on Twitter lately because, Mindy Kaling apparently has some backlash against her. Colin's going to get really uncomfortable now. But, when the Entourage movie came out, Mindy Kaling posted on her Instagram, watching the Entourage movie with this horrified look on her face, this fucking, oh, God, I can't stand this.
She didn't like the movie.
Okay, but
why post about it?
No, you know what? Half the crew that worked on The Office worked on Entourage. Some of the actors that worked on Office. And also, but the bigger thing is, we were nominated for fucking Emmys and Golden Globes every year. So just because you now think you're the queen of comedy, and by the way, I think she sucks, that's my opinion. Just right. My opinion. But I would never come out and say that for no reason to try to hurt people's careers or their work. But she came out and said that. But apparently now there's this backlash. And I saw her. I'm not saying it's not good. People may like it. The College Girls show on HBO. It looks like
What's it called? College
Sex
Girls?
Lives of College Girls. The trailer that I saw, I'm like, this looks like Entourage with girls in college objectifying men. But anyway, apparently there's a backlash against her. I don't care. She's got 11 million followers. I got fucking 14,000. Mindy Kaling, you have a big mouth. And No, I'm serious, though. You need to stand up, Kevin. While the woke mob comes for some, they eventually come for all. And it looks like they're coming for Mindy Kaling. So I don't know. I mean, we're going to bring on Mike Young soon, who's nervous as hell right now. Connolly doesn't like when I get
I've never sat so silently in my life.
Oh, well, you were warned before. By the way, you broke the rule. Connolly told Mike Young, our guest, because you don't fucking talk until you're spoken to.
We're going to get to Mike's part, but by the way, you great performance on the last episode of Victory, but you were a heavy edit. You were heavy in the room and you talked a lot.
All right. So, but we're going to talk, but Mike Young, we need him. So
we do need him. Now we need something.
All right, so let's get to what the real purpose of this bonus podcast sponsored by JSX is. We are allegedly doing our first live show in a year, Super Bowl weekend in Phoenix.
Two shows.
Oh, boy. God.
7 o'clock and 9:40 in Tempe at the Tempe Improv.
Kevin Dillon. Nope.
Hold on, wait. What is it?
It is at Stand Up Live Comedy Club in downtown Phoenix.
Are you sure about that?
100%.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we'll have a link and we'll know where they are.
Let's make sure we get this right. So we're doing two shows, Doug. A 7 o'clock and a 9:40, and the name of the theater, Mike Young?
Stand Up Live, Phoenix, Arizona.
All right.
So I just have to say,
how many seats?
It's like 600 for two shows. So we'll have Super Bowl spill up. But the thing that I need,
people will be there just for by accident. People are going to be in.
Yeah,
flooding the streets.
There's going to be at least 20 people that are like, you know what I'd like to do? Go to the Improv tonight. There's going to be at least 10 people that end up in that show going, who are these fucking jerk offs on this stage?
Right.
But what we need to any Victory, the podcast listeners, any Entourage fans, tell anyone you know, Phoenix, Tucson, which Lucas Allen calling him out. My son, University of Arizona. I'm wearing the shirt right now.
He'd also be a great, great little guest.
Yeah, but he needs to get that freaking frat of his on a bus and
get everybody there.
Get everyone there. So, but anyway,
we'll do two shows. We gotta put asses in the seats, which we will. And then I think we got to get a couple. And then I think because of the nature of the Super Bowl, I think we should be able to get some cool guests to pop up and do some stuff.
All right. Well, now he's talking about guests. I'm not going to chase down guests. I've done that my whole life, but I want to make sure we deliver a proper show. I want to make sure that we sell every single ticket that we can, because I believe that this is how we can go worldwide. We're still talking about going to Australia, which, may or may not happen. But I said, before we do that, I need to do some shows I'm comfortable with. We did one at the Paramount, which, it was in our backyard, Long Island, and it was great, but we had a very friendly crowd. And
right. The other thing, too, and about the comedy club thing, when we did it in Brea, it was a little bit, it was not as many people. I think there's only, Mike, how many people does Brea Improv hold? A couple hundred?
No, 450.
Right. I think we had.
Are you sure? I thought it was 250.
No, Brea Improv, a pretty big room.
Yeah, right. We sold out the Brea Improv, Doug's role.
I bought 50 tickets myself, so we didn't get fucking humiliated. I mean, by the way, these shows cost me a fortune, because I start to go, oh, my God, we need seats. Sell. And I said to Mike Young before we started, I'm like, how much do you think these tickets go for? And he's probably 40 to 70 bucks or something. Like, maybe we go 10 bucks just to make sure we sell it out. And then what did you say?
I said, if you see a $10 ticket, you're like, yeah, what kind of show could this be?
How good could this be? Well, that's...
You got to go up your ticket price.
The other point is, like, it's still a podcast. Like, that's the hard thing about a live podcast is at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, we throw some bells and whistles and it'll be a little more interactive with the audience and that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just
a
live.
Are you underselling the show?
No, I'm saying that that was one of the things that distracted me about the live show in New York. I mean, it was in a bar and people are out having fun. They're drinking. So it's not like they're hanging on your every word. It's not like Hamilton. You know what I mean? People are like doing their thing. So you have to kind of tune out the crowd noise and just like try to keep people involved.
It's if we are lucky enough to fill this place, it's going to be rowdy. And
that's what I'm saying. You have to be prepared for that.
I haven't even been more, I've been so excited for the Giants to possibly make this miracle run like in 2007. But we need the Giants because then we'll have New York will be there. But if the Giants, no matter what it is, it's going to be a loud crowd. And the second show, I mean,
People are that much more hammered.
Yeah, Mike's done stand-up for, 30 years. But Mike and I essentially started doing stand-up at the same time. I only did it for a year and a half or so. But I used to do the comedy store when it was free drink night. Which is fucking nuts because...
Right, like you come in, you get two free drinks.
Yeah.
Toughest room in the country.
Yeah, and you start
fights. Comedy store,
Comedy store, free drink night, original room, toughest room in the country.
I've told you about this before, but I used to I would get up. I got up with a leather jacket on yelling Fonzie at me and
you
shit.
You just take shit way... Me too. It would be just impossible not to take... It personally, in fact, I told the story. I think I told the story on Missing Curfew. So Sean Avery, and I'm glad Mike was here for this one. So Sean Avery's like, I'm thinking about dipping my toe in the stand-up world, going up on
dipping my toe.
Right, and I'm
dip
like,
your toe.
Yeah, and I said, well, how many minutes are you gonna do? And he goes, 40. I go, Sean, 40 minutes. Are you crazy? You can't do 40 minutes. That's 5 minutes is an eternity. 6 minutes is an eternity. Your first time. Apparently, he's been doing pretty well, I think. He's done a couple shows.
He hasn't been doing 40 minutes.
He hasn't been doing 40 minutes, but he's like...
He's in the belly room at the Comedy Store doing some spots, and I heard he is doing pretty well, but they are not 40 minutes. They're 12, 11, 7.
Which is still an eternity, right?
It's an eternity.
His initial thought was 40 minutes, but Mike had to tell Sean, like, Sean, it is not if, it is when. You are going to fall on your face inevitably if you're a stand-up comedian a bunch of times, and the first time's got to be the toughest, right, Mike?
Yeah, you're taking bullets, and especially at the Comedy Store. He's like starting at the number one club in the country that every comedian dreams to get on, but because he's Sean Avery, he can get a spot over there because they know him, they like him, whatever. But yeah, he's going to learn.
Mike's so bitter about that.
No, I'm not even.
Mike's like, I worked 15 years to get in that thing.
Not even. Right. I did my thing, well, there, I love it.
I used to do it, and the open mic night free drinks is a terrifying thing because people are drunk, and fights can happen
very
quickly.
I'm the first one to say that I just don't have the stomach. stomach for it, man.
By the way, the beauty of that room and failing so hard in that room is when you go on the road, and when I went on the road for the first time with Rogan, and you're in actual cities that have people paying customers and seated, it's like a cakewalk because you've already been through the treacherous comedy store.
So if you can survive the comedy store,
you can murder the country.
Right.
You know what? The bottom line is Mike knows, you know, Seinfeld doc, they really showed this, but you have to do your show and not be, you know, concerned with what the audience is liking or not liking. You have to do it. And that's why I want to be for our show. I want to be as prepared as we could possibly be and hope for the best, but I want to sell tickets. So
we want to put together a good interactive show with the audience where it's still Victory the podcast, but it's a special thing for people that are there.
Okay, right? But I wanted to talk to you about something because as close as you are with Mike Young and I go back before you even exist.
You know what's funny? I
introduced you to Kevin.
Hey, Stock Tip Dave.
No, you didn't.
Stock Tip Dave, last night we were at Mr. Furley's. That used to be Sushi Roku, and that back table is when Mike and Doug and I sat down and at our
Mike
first
was not
dinner.
There. Mike was not there.
At Roku he was.
No, yes,
he
I was.
You absolutely were not fucking there. 1,000,000%.
Maybe you set it up and
you guys
there.
Are out of your mind. You didn't set it up either. Wahlberg set that up. He was not there. He was saying for months that you were the guy.
Right.
Nobody was getting you in for this audition till Mark made
Point
the phone
is,
call.
We were in the last night. We were in the place where you and I had our first meeting. Well, that who would have known that great, we would be here today?
All right, great point, but so off the topic that I was talking about, which is Mike Young.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, it is on point because I believe
you don't know what my point is, so it's not on point.
We need an opener for the show.
He literally just took my whole fucking bit. He literally took my whole prep, my whole plan, my whole bit. So anyway, I was going to say. Now I'm going to pretend. Let's see if I can act. I'm going to pretend. Like I'm going to say what I do. Kevin Connolly is the boss, okay? As sad and pathetic as that is, that I'm a fucking employee of this place. Connolly is the boss. So what I wanted to do, I spoke to Mike Young. Now you all know I'm faking it, but I'm actually performing.
I don't even know what you're going
to
say.
I spoke
so you're not
to Mike Young
it.
Last night, and Mike Young said to me, "What do you think if I open for the show?" And I said, "You know what? I got to run it by Kev. So why don't you come on the podcast tomorrow and let's run it by the boss?" So anyway, that's
well,
all been
I,
shot.
I,
that
I knew- Because you guys go back so far, I knew that really that's the first connection.
It's an organic fit.
I agree. But I guess it's not going to be a hard sell. I don't know. It's weird. Mike's such a. I mean, he opens for Sebastian Maniscalco. He obviously can open for us. But do you mind me like poking around about like what you're thinking content wise?
Go ahead. Poke around. I already have a whole thing in my.
Give us a joke.
But I'm not giving a joke.
Are you gonna like write material like around?
I'll probably come out and do a little bit of upfront how I know these guys excited to be here.
New material.
Yeah, but it'll be off the cuff, but it'll be funny. I'll get the energy
off the
up.
Cuff, so he's
what
not
I'm gonna do
prep.
Is listen. My plan is I'm gonna set the table for you guys, so everybody is like happy, upbeat, energy high, ready to listen to the Victory Podcast.
Right.
Trust me.
You're gonna.
It's gonna be a great experience for everybody. I do this every weekend. It's what I do.
You're gonna not you guys, do the stuff you do on your Instagram, correct?
I will not be
will
shirtless.
Be
I will not be jealous in my hair, and I will not have a guitar.
I saw that Sean Avery, he does not like your fake gold chains, by the way. Did you see that?
100% real gold chains,
yeah,
Sean Avery. And Sean and I, we'll figure our issues out.
They're working.
We're good. We're
well,
working
Sean,
through it.
Sean goes through it with everybody. So him and Scotty were button heads for a second, and now he's moved on to Mike. So him and Mike are working out their
we're
issues.
Working it out.
Well, by the way, Sean Avery's a competitive guy, so the fact that Mike is a comic.
Yeah, but he respects. He knows.
No, I know he knows but he's just coming. So you won't give us a taste
right.
of
I mean,
anything.
Like, just like, I don't want to say a taste, but I mean, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, like pretend. The lights
great
are down.
Great to be here. Oh, this is amazing. All the guys from Entourage are here for the Victory Podcast. I've known Kevin Connolly 20 years. He was on my roller hockey team. Doug Ellen, weak hands, soft feet. I mean, I'm just gonna go off the cuff.
I think you're making Connolly nervous right now.
Would you mind us looking at like some notes or like can you deliver a rough copy on the day? And will the 7 o'clock
played.
Will the 7 o'clock and the 9 o'clock or the 9:40 openers be the same, or do you play different audiences?
No, I'm going same act, but I'll feel the audience out. I'll come out. I'll talk to a couple people in the front row. You guys look like you're trying to dress like the cast of Entourage. We'll have fun. I'll set the table. Kev, I just played for 13,000 people
Sebastian.
In Providence,
if you're good
Rhode
enough
Island.
For Sebastian, you're good enough for Doug and Dylan and myself. I get it.
My question to you is there a structure to the Victory Podcast tour? Like, do you have a...
Yeah.
Is there a full structure?
Yeah, well...
Because I go... Let me just say one thing. I go around the country for years now, and I've told Doug this 100 times, and you can stay nervous, Doug, about selling tickets, but I'm fully confident that you guys will sell tickets because I'm in every city for 20 years, and I've heard... people talking about Entourage, and I've in the last year I've heard people talking about Victory. And as I'm walking around Providence, Rhode Island's ice arena where the Bruins minor league team plays, some girl stops me. She's like, "I know you from the Victory Podcast." So you can stay nervous because I love it. Because
I like the confidence.
I'm 100% fat. I already know. So like Saget used to be like that, rest his soul. He used to be nervous every week, and he grinded. And you have the right attitude, Doug. Yeah. Kev. You're not nervous.
I don't
nervous.
Have the right attitude. No, I am nervous. I'm nervous.
You don't show your nerves like Doug.
No, Doug and I are on the same page. Doug and I let's face it, it's ego. We would be humiliated to go out there to an empty crowd and
but
do the podcast.
But the sick part is Doug Ellen can secretly walk off that stage and 1% of the world will know me. You guys, Dylan Connolly, the world of Arizona will know that you bombed. So I want you not to be nervous.
I'm not.
Because I thought this is where we were going. We grilled Mike on what we're doing.
Didn't get much out of him.
I want to know.
I mean, you want my
hold
act?
On, Mike. Hold on. I want to know what you think the show should be. I want to know from the audience. I want feedback from you guys. What do you want to see in a live podcast from us? Have you ever seen a live podcast, Mike Young?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
Yes, I did the Phoenix Comedy Festival.
Oh, you did it in Phoenix?
Years ago I did the Phoenix Comedy Festival, downtown Phoenix, and Ari Shaffir did his live podcast. Segura had his live podcast, so I saw it happen. And there were real crowds coming in, and it was more of a Q&A situation.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You just asked me if Sean, I've seen live
podcasts. No, Sean Avery would fucking beat the shit out of Connolly.
I'm drinking my nitro.
He's got this giant ice cubes. Every time you're talking, all I hear is his rumblings of his cubes.
We can fix that in post.
Let me hear the guy. Go ahead, Mike Young. Keep going.
I've seen live podcasts, and the bottom line is people who love your podcast, they come to see you. So they're good with Q&A, hearing what you have to say. What I've seen in live podcasts where it has something to be – where they need work is structure. So, like, if I was you guys, because you have such a great brand – I would just make sure you have some form of structure.
Agreed.
Whether it's Doug intros, and I had, it was so great to create this show, and off that show came this, and then you start, they just need structure so it doesn't get too loose.
Yeah.
And you just make it a real show. And not to toot my own horn, but by me opening for you, it makes it a package show. So people are paying real money for real tickets. You want to give them a show. And I think your content's going to be interesting enough that they're going to love talking to you, and you make sure you have your Q&A section. Wherever it is,
Q&A section have to imagine it's a good part of it.
People love it. Everybody wants to be part of the show. So instead of heckling, they're in a podcast. So it's gonna be all good. Stay nervous.
What if we find a scene with like Dylan and I, and we recruit somebody from the audience to reenact the scene as a segment? Do you think that would be good?
Home run.
That would be amazing. The only thing you'll come up against is if somebody is terrible on stage, and you just want to be careful with getting loose on stage. So, if anyone wants to come up and do this scene with me and Dylan,
I think you would sort of go something you do before the show, right? Like when you're picking your Q&A people or whatever, you find, kick around the audience, and we'll have Stocked at Dave roaming around the audience.
See if you could find a cast. It took me 6 months to cast this show. We're going to find Vince, the replacement of Vince.
Somebody that could come up and have fun with it and do it. It could be kind of fun. Dave, spit it out.
I can do crowd control and fan interaction. In the audience, bring him up.
Dave, you gonna do for crowd control? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I can be crowd control and run around the audience, do the interaction for you guys.
Crowd control.
I mean, actually,
what does that even mean?
Yeah, now that you said
you're worried about him being rowdy, I can.
No, Dave,
you're gonna say shh, quiet. Don't do that. Kevin Dillon gets very sensitive. You gotta be quiet when they're talking about.
Wait, I want to focus on this for a half second.
Do we cover an episode?
Dave, are you suggesting that in a raucous Super Bowl crowd of loud, drunken men, that you're the guy to put as the beefy guy to do crowd control?
In your Pizza Boy sweatshirt?
I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out.
I had an Orange Bowl and Kempo Karate.
You had what?
An orange belt in Kenpo karate.
This is, okay. Let's just move on. Thank you.
He's serious. I don't know if he's serious.
He
though.
Is serious.
Mike Young.
Yeah,
but
he got beat by a girl in the semifinals. There's a photo of him getting blasted by a girl.
You know semifinals. What? Mike Young, maybe, and I don't know what we've determined his salary would be for the show. Mike Young's a fighter. Mike Young's a big guy. Maybe Mike Young has to do crowd control as well as do his opening.
I think Mike should probably, even when you step off, we'll have you on mic. You'll have a handheld to be out there. I mean, I want to keep you involved in the show. And Mike and I have already worked out a price, Doug. That's not to be a concern of yours, but Mike and I have come to an agreement.
By the way, if you want me to have a mic and float in and out and even go to the people in the crowd,
the Q&A guy. Yeah, I can help you with
that.
That
would be awesome.
I can wireless mic into the crowd.
Right.
Ask your question.
And then we can, and then if something comes up, we can ask you, right? So, but here's a question. Do we cover an episode?
I don't think so. I think that's just strange to cover a random episode. I think we have to cover the whole scope of the show, and we have to talk football, and we have to talk about the Super Bowl in an entertaining way.
I have a question. Did you, on your last show in Brea or wherever else you've done it, did you cover one episode, or did you just go off cuff, let's talk this?
In Brea, we attempted. By the way, we had a great show in Brea.
Yeah.
Brea was great. We attempted, but you just, the audience was so hammered in a good way.
In Brea?
Like people were like partying. People didn't want to follow along necessarily with a storyline. So I don't know. Maybe we cover, I don't know. Maybe we could, it's the Super Bowl. We should, again, I agree, Mike, it's structure. Maybe we cover sort of
the episode where
Super
Brady.
Bowl athletes that we've had on the show. We talk about, you know, we'll figure it out. But I agree. We're all in agreement.
Maybe
there.
We get Tom Brady to show up.
Little structure.
You could also have those clips ready to go and just little 30-second clips and just show them. People would love to see that, then talk about them. I think time
now, Mike,
would fly.
You're also there. You're also there doing something else, right?
I'm working with Gronk the night before.
The night before on what? Like he's doing like
a live theater. It's called the Legends Roast and Toast. So we're doing like a live theater with Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, Doug
Flutie.
I don't
understand how Mike Young shows up at the Action Park offices or Entourage offices. He meets Bob Saget at Entourage. He goes on tour with him for a decade. He meets Gronk here. And the next thing I know, he's doing Gronk Productions.
I will explain it real quick just so we know it's not just that. So I wrote and produced Gronk's show on Showtime when he did comedy. He actually hosted a comedy event 5 years ago. Right. So when Henry saw me, he was like, Mike, I forgot about you. You got to come do this thing at the Super Bowl. And I saw him here. So I've known Gronk for that. I literally went to his house and went over his monologue.
Is there any way? And again, I don't want to put, because I believe that the live shows, and you kind of have to wing it. But any kind of guest star that you could bring up for, and I don't mean guest star of Entourage, but any special guest that can jump on the stage and do a few minutes, I think those are bonuses. I've heard from people that do the live podcast that, like, guests are cool.
Because of the nature of your show, Victory and Entourage, I think the crowd would love to see a guest pop in. They would be cool if you didn't, but, like, your show was the cameo show of the world.
If we had a random cameo.
If you had a random cameo, they would go crazy.
Mike, what is asking of you, can you deliver Gronk to the stadium as well?
For 7 minutes.
I can ask Gronk.
And we'll give you an extra $100, okay?
I'll ask Gronk for $10,000. I got you.
Yeah, right. Maybe Gronk can come out and do, like,
in an envelope.
Maybe one show. Maybe he does one show. You know, maybe he does the 7 o'clock or whatever he does.
Brady does the 9:30. Gronk does the 7:30, and boom.
By the way.
Promote that, and we're over.
By the way, 100%, I'll ask him.
Right.
He loves people love the show, and Doug's, I know you're like, sometimes you're like, they're not coming for free. What are we going to give them, a dollar? Some of these people just want to be on a podcast and a show. They're not
maybe
always
Gronk
looking
can,
for the money like
maybe
that.
Maybe Gronk can just come in and crush a beer and do a funnel. Maybe Gronk
he would do it
in.
For a funnel and a beard and hanging out down by ASU, his rival.
Right.
Yeah. I just I don't ask people for stuff. I just don't do it. So
now, normally I'm with you, and that's been our hang up. You and I both don't like to ask people things, but I think considering that there's going to be a billion people out there for the Super Bowl, we should be able to get a couple cool
easily, and they'll be staying in hotels 500 yards from where your show is.
By the way,
so
Mike, you should actually be producing the show in your fee, because that's what we're lacking. We need we need to get a real structure.
I could get your show to be super tight, top to bottom.
Yeah, because you're opening.
Because you're cut. My opening, I'll open for 20. I'm not going to do too much time. I'll
20 minutes. 20.
I mean, that'll set the table for you. Don't you want 20?
I was thinking 10.
I was thinking 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
20 minutes.
I mean, I'll do 8 to 10. That's easy for me. But I mean, I'm
20 minutes is an eternity. I might be like, let's get to the show here, huh? or maybe we could cross it over a little bit. So like, you know, you do your 10, and then we come on and you stay with us for an additional 10 before you exit into the crowd.
Maybe after like 23 years of doing this, I think you want more than 10. I'm just telling you because people are still coming in. They got their drinks. They're still settling. You want the crowd settled and ready to go by the time victory begins.
But you and I could like make eye contact and I could wave you off. I could throw up
your light. You don't even have the light.
You could 100% flash your phone at me and I'll wrap it up. It's a 2-minute wrap up.
Okay. This could be behind the scenes of this. So, which tomorrow we're going to do an episode of Gary's Desk. Season
4, episode 8.
9, I think.
No, it's episode 8, Gary's Desk, which is like, we haven't seen it in years, but it's like universally the episode that the cast and Doug hated the most of any episode in Entourage history.
Maybe we're doing it tomorrow.
Maybe we bring Gary Busey into Phoenix. Why don't you fly Gary Busey, have Dave drive Gary Busey from L.A. to Phoenix.
JSX would not have Gary Busey.
He would destroy the JSX brand. So, we got... We have to figure out, and we'll talk about this on the show with Dylan tomorrow, but like accommodations and all of this, apparently, obviously, it's Super Bowl weekend, so a lot of things are booked. So Connolly, he starts talking about like there's an Airbnb, and last night he's like, I'm not staying in a house with me, by the way. Like, he's not staying with me in a house.
Can you imagine how awkward it would be and Doug and Dylan in an Airbnb? I don't know, like...
Great content,
amazing content. It would make my day.
Doug in his onesie on an edible. I don't know. I just don't know that... I guess if it were a really big house... And I'm sure Dylan's a disaster. Give me Dylan walk scratching his balls. Like,
there's a pool table in the basement.
Right. I got to imagine that Dylan's first 10 minutes awake is probably a little messy. You know what I mean? Like,
do it for the content.
Did the club tell you they have an Airbnb for you? No.
Mike August, who hooked this up, he said there's just not a lot of hotel rooms, obviously, available.
Well, they book them in blocks, obviously, but they will start to release hotel rooms. So things that aren't available today... will be available.
But that will not exist if the Giants are in the Super Bowl. So if it's
correct.
Like...
Well, they say certain teams travel better. Like if San Francisco or the Giants, I don't know that Kansas City fans travel that well.
The movie version of this is you guys end up staying in the comedy condo that they have for every comedian that goes.
Do they have that?
Absolutely.
Nice.
A few blocks away. You're not going to be happy at all.
I just think it's
nice for the common man, but Doug Allen ain't staying in the
Doug
comedy
would
condo.
Be like a judgmental Airbnb guy.
Are you kidding? Mortified when he sees the couch.
Like Scotty was like, are we going to get like funny looks about what time we get home? I said, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure you can come home whenever you want. I mean, you're a grown man. I mean, Doug's not, you know, whatever. He's, you know, as long as
I have a blindfold, a sound machine that makes ocean waves, and my edibles. I will be out cold. Scotty
don't care.
By the way, him and Dylan could wrestle
as
for
long
2 hours.
And that's the other thing. Like, Dylan, I don't know, man. I don't know if
check Dylan. It's a fun town.
And it could be, and the other thing is, I don't want any pre-show tension. And I think us together in there, you know, I don't know.
You don't want to stay in a comedy condo, Airbnb for the all. It's going to be tough.
If it's big, I need a separate wing from Doug.
Doug should get his own hotel room. Just his.
Well, I have my house in La Quinta. I was thinking about just driving that day, getting there. You know, it's 3.5 hours. I was thinking about driving.
It's only 3.5 hours. Yeah, are you sure?
I mean, pretty sure. Yeah.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, so I was thinking about driving there, staying in my nice empty house that has no furniture. And
then you're that much closer to Phoenix.
But there's a great hotel right next to Stand Up Live where you're playing.
There's no rooms.
They wouldn't book you if they didn't have... They have to have rooms. The comedy club blocks rooms.
Honestly, I'm not worried about it. We'll figure it out.
Colly and Dylan are like, they'll sleep in the streets.
By the way, honestly, like... If I had a choice between like a great, massive Airbnb with you and Dylan or like a solo room at the Holiday Inn... I would honestly just take the room. We're only going to be there a night.
And what do you think? I'm dying to share a home with you. Are you joking?
I feel like you would want to talk to me at night.
Not at all. You called me last night. What are you talking about? I debated picking up. You know, these fucking guys leaving for a movie, by the way. Like, I'm going to be left to try to figure out what the show is. Dylan does to prepare.
I'm with you.
Going to Amsterdam.
For a week. An important week for you too, Doug, to think about the structure of this.
But I did this last time and I was ignored.
I won't make that mistake again. I'm giving you my word.
Are we allowed to say that you're leaving for a movie or is that illegal?
We're leaving for a movie, but I don't want to talk about the movie.
I will be available to help.
Dave, we don't need your help.
They have security.
You're crowd control.
If they can handle Mike Epps crowd, they can handle this crowd. Everyone's gonna be fine.
Yeah. all right, so that's good. So I think we got our opener. We are in agreement that we're gonna put a little structure into it. We have also asked the Victory audience what they would want to hear, and I think it's gonna work to our benefit that it's the Super Bowl and there's gonna be people everywhere.
And the club will call and they'll go, hey, do you guys want like an MC to come out to introduce Mike? No, it'll just be a two. I'm just telling you no.
Right.
We are going to get into Mike Young's stand-up ego during this thing, by the way. No doubt about it. It's like they're going to call up. I mean,
Kevin just said yesterday, I'm egoless. I've been driving Honda Accords, problem.
Mike is not a flosser. I was telling the great story about Mike, and this is a true story because I remember when it happened. Girl said to Mike, you're just like a little bit older and you drive a Honda Accord. And Mike said, Honda Accord is a Motor Trend car of the year, 3 years running. And I was like, you know what, Mike, you're right. Yeah. There's nothing. Honda Accord, great car. It will never die.
Ever.
The Honda Accord will never die. But I said, Mike has never been a flosser. He's never lived above his means. He's never like, so he's not. But you do have, right. You're not flashy and you're not a flosser, but you do have a semi-ego, which you have to have as a stand-up.
Yes. But I do want to give context for the audience. So, you know, we posted Mike on the Instagram a couple of days ago. He has been a friend for 30 years, right? 32? Something like that.
30 years.
It's insane. He read for E! On Entourage. He claims he was offered Vince by Larry Charles, even though Larry Charles wasn't around when Vince was offered.
You know, this conversation came up again the other day, and I had to retell him. And because I was saying and about writers, and I mean this as a compliment, so don't take this as a knock. Right. It just shows I believe that writers, and this is why you guys are creative. You're imaginative, so your memories are
fake.
That I'm writing my own story.
Yes.
I have a vivid
writing your own story. We talked about the Danny Carcillo hockey incident where he got into the fight and we were at the icebox and he said, no, Doug wasn't there. I said, Doug got this. Those were Doug's seats. He's like, Doug was not there. I said, Mike, I am telling you right now that Doug was there. I know this because Doug is the one that got us the seats. And then he's like, said the same thing about Larry Charles. I said, Mike. Larry Charles was not on the show.
Yeah, Larry Charles was on Curb at that point. Larry Charles came in 4 months after the pilot was done.
Good writers have the imaginations where I believe it. Like, Doug believes that Carcillo had a hat trick that night.
But I wasn't going to fight over that. That was like more of
cuff. Yeah. But I'm saying the natural, and again, I mean, this is a compliment, writers, they have imagination. So when enough time passes, it kind of takes on a life of its own. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, so you were not offered Vince, but you did read for E. You were an inspiration for the show. And, Kev talked about this on the Kevco podcast. But Johnny Drama got held out the window. And that story came from you because Mike Young has an incredible story you can listen to on the Kevco podcast, but that you really won't believe was Hollywood. But that inspired Drama to get a Burke Williams gift certificate for a guy who was going to kill him, which Mike Young did to a guy who, again, I'll give you the short, is just this guy hit Mike Young with brass knuckles 20 times while the guy held a gun in his face. That's in Hollywood, in the dead center of it. You can hear all the details on Kevin's podcast. But he's been with this crew
for the
long run, and he was in the writer's room when we were writing scripts, and now he's going to be on this show with us. And
it makes sense for him to open for us. Yeah. I would like to hear a little bit of this. I'm not putting you
good
on the spot.
Good to be here. Couples, way to work it out. Oh, relationships.
Okay, so that's it. So you're going to do like a little bit of your routine. You're going to say, hey, happy to be here, do a little, and then you're going to do some comedy, yeah?
Yo, Kev, I love how you just demeaned
everything.
You don't have to be nervous.
Well. I'm not nervous.
Are you going to give
when I come out to are this you give
Mr. Are you going to give Mr. Connolly like tape of some of your live performances?
I've seen Mike a bunch of times. I know he's going.
Have you ever gone to see Mike?
I'm not worried about you being funny. I'm not.
Thanks. I do think here's my suggestion. Like, you gave a suggestion to structure the show. I think you should have some specific material based on, even if it's like Mike does very funny stuff about, you know, us old guys playing in our sports leagues and stuff. But I think you should use specific stuff that people know about, like little Kevin playing hockey and things like that. I think that'll help, you know, because I think.
And slow-footed Doug on rollerblades.
Doug Ellen. Typing fingers. Fingers made for typing. Soft, gingerly.
Right. No, it's gonna be good. I guess nerves are good, right? I mean, it's like I'm not.
Nerves are only good if they don't paralyze you. We have to promote, and we have to structure, and we have to go up and give a good show, because if we do two good shows, we can do 100. And
I've watched this unfold so many times, and like I said, I saw it with Bob. He was always nervous weeks before, and he always sold out. When I tell you that I've been on the road listening to people rumbling, hearing about me from Entourage and Victory and this and that, I know the rumblings continue for a long time.
We're going to get people.
So, Doug, I would say stay nervous, stay neurotic, work your butt off.
My nerve goes to working, but Bob is a perfect example, and Jeff Ross. Those guys work their fucking asses off. They don't, like, people think they just show up. They are working, promoting, doing everything they have to do to make sure it's a success, correct?
True story, 100%. And this is what I would say to you guys, and Kev, I know you're not so down with this because you just, you know, you're you. Doug, if you call, or I could call, you know, the head of the improv and the head of Stand Up Live, they will say, here, Doug, here's 7 interviews that are lined up for a week before you go on. You'll call in radio at this time, and you will just start to move even more
tickets.
Oh, I'll
do that. I'll do.
If you don't want to do it, you don't do
no,
it.
No, bro. Like, I'm happy to do the radio tour.
But then you should just simply let them know.
I'm also self-aware. They need Connelly and Dylan, and hopefully Jerry if he does this. That's who people want to hear.
They're going to know they're coming, but yeah. I'm just saying, trust
no,
me.
No, I'm with you. I'm
doing a local promotion.
They know they're coming, but if you want to do some local radio, it's big in Phoenix. Like, right. That's just their thing.
Right.
I've been to 1,000 shows, and I remember doing this when I was with Bob and even Sebastian. People would be like, I heard you on the radio. I heard you on the radio. Rarely did I hear, I saw it on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Because in all this social media stuff, believe it or not, you might have.
Yeah, exactly. I got it.
You
got
1,000 people in Guatemala that love Entourage. They're not going to be in Phoenix.
You're hoping they call their cousin in Phoenix, but I hear you.
Get down with local media.
And let me ask you, that's great advice, Mike. Thank you. That's great. It makes total sense.
But you still want tape.
No, let me ask you this.
Tape on his performance.
I still want to talk about what you're going to talk about.
I'll send you the Beacon Theater. 5,000 people, 9 shows straight. I got you.
No, but I guess the question is, like, do we have, like, walk-ups? Like for me, like if you're in Phoenix, you're in the Super Bowl, and you're like kind of cruising around downtown, and then it's like, oh shit,
100%, you'll have walk-ups. Right. That's a fact. But I believe I could be wrong, and just whatever. I think you're gonna sell out and do great.
How many tickets
but
can
they
you
get
personally
walk-ups?
Sell? How many tickets?
I mean, I already got 13 sold right now.
No, but don't sell until we come on sale, so they know it's for Victory.
Yeah, they're not on sale. My people are like, yo, it doesn't say that you're there yet.
People.
Yeah, I got people in Phoenix.
What people? What kind of people?
I played that club 50 times.
Have you really?
It's the first time I ever got triple teamed.
Jesus.
Wait, what? Three
Ew.
Girls? Is that what you're saying?
Three girls. That's we're not going to talk about that.
Disgusting.
First time
Dave,
over.
What's the time code on that?
You
cut
realize
that.
We're 55 plus now.
Cut that. First time I got triple teamed. Ew.
Yeah. Wait, but I do want to know, you had sex with three girls after a stand-up show?
After opening for Bob. After I met him through you.
And what did Bob do?
He didn't even know till 2 days later. I don't want to
say
tell
Bob
him.
Would have been disgusted.
I think
he was happy.
What kind of women were these?
I mean, strippers in Phoenix.
Jesus Christ, that's disgusting.
By the way, in New York, didn't we get like 500 walk-ups at the last minute? We had like 600 tickets sold.
500? Yeah,
I thought we ended up with like 1,100 to 1,200 people because there was.
So you think we had 600 until the last couple of minutes?
I thought we had a rush of walk-ups.
No, we sold 850 tickets. The rush of walk-ups may have been like 13 people. There's no rush of 600 people that came
I just thinking there's going to be foot traffic, and it's like on the fly. People are like, fuck it, let's jump in here and watch the show.
Tons of foot traffic.
Like I said, this is how I operate. Forget any other traffic. Let's us get as many people as we can, the rest is going to be what it is going to be. We can only do what we can do.
And whoever your promoter is, Doug, whoever your guy
promoter.
Is that you're
do we have a
whoever
promoter?
Your promote whoever the guy is that's setting this up that you keep I forgot his name.
Whoever's, Don King is our promoter.
Well, then you're good.
Is what he do alive? You mean?
Who's Mike August?
August. Okay, who I'm saying.
Does he promote?
Whoever he is, I could do it for
he's
you.
He's Corolla's but producer. He's awesome. Saying, but I didn't know if he promotes. I don't.
Great, but I'm saying he one of these guys needs to know that you are willing to do local radio
in
Phoenix and just get into it right now because it's coming up.
What do you think about driving around in a car with the speaker with Dylan yelling Victory and just, you know, harassing people?
I think you'll sell out in 5 minutes if you
get
do
an
that.
Action Park convertible and have Dylan blasting.
The good news is tons of foot traffic because
that's
place
what
is,
I was gonna. I guess that's what I was gonna
tons of foot
say.
Traffic is down there. You're in a mall,
so it's got to be a lot. easier to sell out Phoenix during the Super Bowl than the Brea Improv, you know, on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
That's
right?
What I'm. That was what
I mean. I'm hoping. I'm hoping. But
I mean, that was a tough sell. What we did.
But we had 3 months.
Dead of summer. It was August. 3 weeks. But it was the dead of summer, bro. Yeah. It was the dead of summer. I'm counting on a little because I know myself. If I could be cruising around, and I'm like a guy, like, oh shit, let's pop in here, you know. So yeah.
It happens all the time. Happens all the time at stand up live.
But lots of foot traffic.
All right.
So,
well, the two things I need out of the production company, whoever that may be, I want to see our last show. Do we have that? The full show of the Paramount?
We have got it. Yes.
I would like to get that like today, and then
that's good. That's a good thought, Doug.
And
look
then
at that show.
I would love if someone out there, anyone knows like a good live podcast that they've seen that I could actually watch and see what they've done, because I don't even know where I would go about getting that. So anyway, right. That's my story. But JSX, Adrien Grenier, tell him nicely on his Instagram to please get on a free flight, come out. He could stay at my house or Kevin's. Kevin likes house guests.
That's
apparently.
Weird.
And
JSX have any hotels? yeah, no. Well, Grenier, we're going to get Grenier. And then, you know, February 6th is the cutoff for the film festival, JSX Queens Boulevard Film Festival. We've got some great ones. And hopefully we get a few last-minute submissions, and that's it.
Victor. Shout out your Phoenix date one more time for
yes.
Me.
Yes, Phoenix.
Saturday.
Saturday, the night before the Super Bowl, Phoenix stand-up live.
February 11th,
February
correct?
11th, the night before the Super Bowl, we're doing two shows, one at 7:45 and one at 9, or is it 7 and 9?
I think it's 7:30
and 9:45. So there we go.
Just let them know it's stand-up live in Phoenix.
Stand-up live in Phoenix.
Night before the Super
but
Bowl.
But they're not available yet. But they
Victory
will.
The podcast. No, and also,
hopefully they are available now.
Stock Tip Dave, remember, subscribe to the Action Park Media YouTube and watch full episodes of Avery, Victory, Ramble On, the whole nine yards. All right, Victory.